the kind and righteous Father, we come to you this evening, Lord, thankful for your continued blessings as you shower upon us. Lord, we pray that as we are here at this time and place, that we ask that Brother Barry Ganey, who is your manservant tonight, stand bold and preach your eternal gospel that is able to save our soul. Lord, we pray that there is a soul who is seeking the truth this evening. We pray, Lord, that they're in their humility, that they're sincere to accept the inspired word that Brother Ganey will proclaim, to accept it as your divine will, and to believe those tenets pertaining to your son Jesus, his sacrifice on the cross, the empty sepulcher, his resurrection, his ascension up on high where he sits at your right hand, and the institution, that great kingdom called the Church of Christ that he built and purchased with his own blood. Pray, Lord, somebody is ready to be saved from this untoward generation. We ask this prayer in the Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. We want to say welcome to everyone who's on our call tonight, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. You are very honored and you're a distinguished guest of our audience. We pray now that you get your Bible, open it up, follow along with our speaker, take notes of the things that be said, and pay close attention to what he talks about as pertaining to your salvation, saving of your precious soul. Speaker in person, Brother Barry Ganey, minister of the Chisholm Trail Church of Christ in Wichita, Kansas. So thankful that he accepted our invitation to speak tonight. Brother Ganey, tell us about these workers of iniquity. Have we read about them? Tell us about them.
I am grateful to the God of heaven for this great and grand opportunity and to share a message with you from the greatest book in the world, that is the Holy Bible. Also, I would like to thank our gracious host, Brother Tommy Brooks, and the Highland Heights congregation for the vision to orchestrate this great nationwide gospel meeting. And also, I'd like to thank all of the gospel preachers who have participated to make this meeting a great success. This evening, I would like to invite you to turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. And I would like to read just a couple of verses that will set the stage for this evening's message. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says these words, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." The subject that has been assigned to me for this evening is workers of iniquity. Workers of iniquity. Iniquity carries with it the idea of lawlessness or sinfulness. And in this passage of Scripture, there is a warning that is given by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not only to his audience then, but to those of us who are alive on tonight. And the warning is such, of such magnitude, that we should pay close attention to what Jesus is saying here. One thing that he shares with us is a startling fact, and that is that there will be some religious people who are lost. Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." My friends, there is a great difference between saying, Lord, Lord, and obeying him. Many are sincere enough to call on the Lord, on the Lord, but he is not the Lord of their life because they will not obey him. In Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46, Jesus asked the question, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? There are many of you tonight who are very sincere in your love for the Lord and in your service to the Lord. And we thank God for you. But your love for the Lord and your service to the Lord is not enough to save you. It must be coupled with faithful obedience to his will. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, the master said, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. My friends, as sincere as you may be, sincerity doesn't change the truth. If one fails to obey God, they will never be saved. In Matthew 7, 15 through 17, Jesus warns us against the influences of false prophets. He said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns and figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. The word beware means pay attention, look out, be on guard against. And my friends, we must all of us, be aware of false prophets. We must all be aware of workers of iniquity. We must all be students of the Bible. Contrary to popular opinion, the Bible is not just the preacher's book, it's every traveler's roadmap. And if you're planning to go to heaven, God's word is the only book in the world that can lead you from earth to glory. Yes, there are many false prophets today who are workers of iniquity, who pretend to be God's spokesmen in promoting their false teachings by taking advantage of those who don't know the word of God. So therefore, we must be students. We must study. We must learn the word of God to combat religious error. On any given day, on television, radio, social media, you can hear the workers of iniquity. You can hear someone or some preacher or some teacher say that if you want to be saved, say the sinner's prayer. And when you hear something like that, it ought to catch your attention. Because you should know that that is something that is not found in the Word of God. You see, the sinner's prayers go something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I ask for forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins on the cross and rose from the dead. I invite you to come into my heart. I trust you as my Savior and receive you into my heart. My friends, where in the Bible can you find this prayer or one similar to it? Nowhere, because it's not in the Bible. This is the result of the workers of iniquity. The book of Acts gives us example after example of how people in the first century were saved, and not one of them prayed the sinner's prayer. Did you hear what I just said? I said not one of them prayed the sinner's prayer. In the book of Acts, we have the account of the conversion of the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 9, Saul at the time is traveling on the road to Damascus to persecute Christians. The Lord appears to him on the road to Damascus and knocks him down and strikes him blind. But in verse 6, Saul asks, Lord, what will you have me to do, or what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and it will be told to you what you must do. I have to admire Saul at this time because he recognized within himself that there was something for him to do. The Lord did not tell Saul what to do, but that someone in the city would tell him what you must do. Now let's see now what Paul was told to do. Well, in Acts chapter 22, verse number 16, Paul rehearses his conversion. He talks about a man by the name of Ananias who came to him and taught him the word of God. And in Acts 22:16, Ananias said, and why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Listen, my friends, Paul was not saved while he was on the road to Damascus, as some people would like for you to believe. Up to this point, Saul was still lost because he was still in his sins, and his sins needed to be washed away. Obedience to the Lord's command to be baptized was necessary to wash away Paul's sins. Paul was not told to pray the sinner's prayer and ask Jesus to come into his heart in order to be saved, as many people falsely teach today. You see, forgiveness of our sins occurs in the mind of God and not on the basis of how a man feels in his heart. Only when we have done what God has said that we must do, that's when God forgives our sins. I'm here to tell you tonight, man cannot devise his own way as to how his sins are to be forgiven. God has already done that. Our sins have to be washed away in baptism, just as Saul's sins were. A person cannot have their sins remitted by praying the sinner's prayer. I hope you're still on the line tonight. We have to understand that there are workers of iniquity, and their job is to deceive mankind from obeying God's word. There's another teaching that's promoted by the workers of iniquity, and that is, on any given day, you can hear someone say, join the church of your choice. Now, while that sounds convenient, there's just one problem. It's not according to the Bible. When you read the New Testament of your own Bible, you will find that the Lord added the saved to the only church which was in existence at that time, the Church of Christ. The statement, join the church of your choice, is completely foreign to the teaching of the Bible. My friends, the biblical fact is that the Lord has only one church. Let me say that again. I said that the biblical fact is that the Lord has only one church. So what we need to be concerned about is not the church of our choice. We ought to be concerned more about the church of Jesus' choice, the church he died for, the church he built. Now, that may sound strange to some and may be unpopular with many others who are listening to us tonight, but I'm here to tell you that the Bible only speaks about one church. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 4 through 6 that there is one body and one spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. What is the Lord's one body? Jesus is the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 22 and 23. We see, my friends, the Lord has only one body, and that one spiritual body is his church, the church that belongs to Christ. Jesus only promised to build just one. You recall in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Notice he says here, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." It because there's only one. And then we look and we understand the word "my." The word "mine" is a possessive pronoun, and the word "church" is singular. Now notice with me, and I want you to work with me here for just a moment. Notice this, my friends. You can understand my house. You can understand my car. You can understand my money. You can even understand my wife. You can understand my husband. If you can understand my house, my car, my wife, my money, my husband, then I know that you can understand my church. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 23, the Bible says that Jesus is the Savior of the body, the church. Jesus has only promised to save those who are in his one body, his one church. In Acts, the second chapter, after those people heard the preaching of Peter on the day of Pentecost, they asked a question, and it's a question that needs to be asked tonight. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse number 37. Peter responds to that question, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." In verse number 41 of the text, the Bible says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Now, let me ask a question. Did these Christians join the church of their choice? No, ma'am, and no, sir. Well, how do we know that? Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. My friends, these people didn't have to go looking for a church. The Lord added them to his church, the church he promised to build, the church that belongs to him, the church that you can read about in your Bible, the church of Christ. Some may argue that the church doesn't save anybody. Well, I'm here to tell you that the Lord has placed only those who are saved in his one church. Remember, Ephesians 5:23, the Bible says that Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. If one expects to ever be saved, my friends, he must be in the church, in the Lord, in the one body, which is the church. He cannot be in a man-made denominational church. He must be in the church of the Bible, which is the church of Christ. You know, it's strange to me how people can say that there's no difference in a church. Well, you know, Christ died for his. Christ died for his church, and he spilled his blood on the cross in order to purchase his church. It cost Christ his life. And for someone to say that it does not matter what church you become a member of is to make mockery of the blood and the death of Jesus Christ, because it cost him his life in order to purchase the church. Well, let's move on a little further in our lesson tonight. What about those workers of iniquity who teach that baptism is not essential to salvation? Well, my friends, the denominational world teaches that baptism has absolutely nothing to do with our salvation. But my question is, what does Jesus say? And that's what you ought to be concerned about tonight. What does Jesus say? Not what does the reverend say, or what does the pastor say, or what does the cardinal say? What does Jesus say? In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, the Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, let me stop right there, because it's important for us to understand something. And that is that if Jesus has all power, then there is no power for anyone else. If Jesus has all authority, then there is no authority for anyone to go against his word. He says that all power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Doing what? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, your Bible says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Did you get it? What did he say? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So then, therefore, a person, in order to be saved, must believe and be baptized. So baptism does have something to do with our salvation. Baptism is essential to our salvation. My friends, listen, this fact is un-get-aroundable. In other words, you can't get around this undeniable fact that baptism is essential to our salvation. Notice that it is baptism that puts us into Christ so that we can be saved. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Baptism is the only way a person can get into Christ. And so we have to understand that there is no other way. You cannot pray your way in. You cannot cry your way in. You cannot do the praise dance and get in. No, ma'am, and no, sir. Jesus tells us that we must be baptized in order to be saved. There is no other way to get into Christ except by being baptized. In Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3 through 4, Paul said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Let me share this with you. When a person is baptized and baptized according to the Bible, a person reenacts the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says it's a burial. You go down into the water. You come on up out of the water. You die to the sins of the world, and you come up as a new creature in Christ, and the Lord gives you a new lease on life. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3, Paul says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. You're baptized to put on Christ. You're baptized to get into Christ. You're baptized in order to take advantage of the spiritual blessings that are in Christ. And this verse tells us that every spiritual blessing is located in Christ. Only those who are in Christ can enjoy these spiritual blessings. Only those who are in Christ and members of his church can pray, can have mercy, can find grace, can receive forgiveness of sin, have salvation. All of these spiritual blessings are located in Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. If one is in Christ, he has become a new creation. And this is how we are born again. The Apostle Paul says as we hasten to our conclusion tonight. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:10, "Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain," watch it now, "the salvation which is in Christ with eternal glory." Here we see that salvation is located in Christ. And for one to be eligible for salvation, he must be in Christ. Oh, it's a horrible thing for a person who thinks he's saved, when he stands before the Lord in judgment, he'll still be outside of Christ. He'll be lost. He would not have salvation. He would be lost eternally. And so then, as we conclude, we see back in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 22 and 23, many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." Then will I profess unto them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And Jesus says that many will say to me in that day. That day has reference to a day unlike any day in human history. It has reference to the day of judgment. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, Peter says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." My friends, in the final roundup of human affairs, when God shall declare time to be no more, everyone who has ever made footprint in the sand of time will stand before the great judge of the universe and give an account of themselves before the Lord of Lords and the kings of kings. You will either hear these words, either you will hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," or you will hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." My friends, listening audience, you make the choice. It is my plea and my prayer that you will have the courage to leave the doctrines and the commandments of men, that you will have the courage to leave family traditions, that you will have the courage, my friends, to leave denominational churches that where there is no salvation. It is my prayer and my hope that you will leave man-made worship and make the decision to become a Christian and a Christian only. You do this by hearing the word of God. According to Romans 10:17, the Bible says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." It's my prayer that you will believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." It is my prayer that you will repent of your sins. Luke 13 and 3, the master said, "I'll tell you nay, but except you repent, you will all likewise perish." It's my prayer that you will have the courage to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 37, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then it's my prayer that you will be baptized for the remission of your sins. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Then said Peter unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission, the removal, the cancellation of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. My friends, many churches offer the baptism of your choice. They offer sprinkling. They offer pouring. And they even offer immersion. But the Bible teaches us that there is only one baptism. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 5. And that one baptism is a burial in water. Romans chapter 6 and verses 3 and 4. My friends, I'm closing now, but I am begging and I'm pleading with you tonight. Don't follow the workers of iniquity. Follow Jesus, for he is the way to heaven. And may God be with you. We'll turn it back over to Brother Brooks.
Thank you very much, Brother Gaines. We appreciate you, sir, very much for that very evangelistic message. We appreciate you exactly what we want our visitors to hear. We want them to know those basic truths that everyone needs to know before they die. If you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ. We speak the truth in love, and we want you to know that many are following doctrines and commandments of men, and they have not followed the law of God, and that law is in your Bible. And it would be wise on your part to listen tonight, to think about what have you done. Where have you obeyed God? Have you obeyed the law of God, the New Testament? Have you done it the way God said do it? If you have questions, why don't you email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And if you have questions, we'll answer your questions. If you desire to be baptized, you can get back with the person who invited you to the call. Or you can contact us, no matter where you are listening tonight. We'll make arrangements to get a preacher to you and get you baptized like we've done those who have requested it. And perhaps you want to go back and listen to Brother Gainey's message, a very good message. You can go to our website at HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. And there you go to the sermon tab, and you'll find Nationwide Gospel Meeting sermons. All of our speakers from the month of May are there. All the sermons are downloadable. You can go back and listen to them at your own leisure. And so we thank everyone for joining us tonight. And we thank you for listening. We pray you obey before it's eternally too late. Let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this day you've given us, one we've never seen before and we'll never see again. Thank you for watching over as we lay down last night. We know there are some who didn't wake up this morning, but you allowed us to. Father, we pray for our listening audience tonight. For the members of the church, that they'll be restored. They understand this simple truth must be taught. We all need to tell the world what your son done for them. Father, we pray for our visitors that they too will believe this gospel, that you gave your son, and he hung, bled, and died on the cross, shedded the blood and washed our sins away in baptism, and to purchase his church, his bride, the Church of Christ. Be with us as we continue to reach out to the world, Lord, through this call. Bless our efforts, and thank you, Father, for giving us the opportunity to be earthen vessels to carry the good news to a lost and dying world. We pray this prayer tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for joining us tonight. Let's close it out tomorrow night strong. Invite visitors. Invite your friends, family, loved ones, anyone you know, coworkers, everybody. Invite people to hear the call. Tomorrow night will be another great lesson. We close out this week. May God bless you. I want to thank everyone for your prayers. Thank you for your encouragement that you're sending us on email. You don't want us to stop, and we don't plan on stopping. We're going to keep going with this thing. And thank those who have supported us financially. We appreciate you. We didn't even have to ask for it. For those who may have the same kind of heart, just go to our website, HollandHeightsCoc.net. Go on online. Give me all the ways to donate it there. However, it's not required. We thank everyone. We appreciate you so very much. Have a good night, is my prayer.